Krishna, Jaya Vrindavan, Jiva Venda, Gopinatha.
Ananda Vrindavan Champu, Chapter 3, The Killing of Puchana. The Supreme Brahman, taking the form of a human being, descended on earth and assumed the mood of a village boy. Although he appeared like an ordinary human to the common people, Sri Krishna, who is famous as the beautiful form of supreme transcendence, has a completely pure spiritual body. Manifesting along with his divine consort, he fully satisfied the minds of everyone. Once, Rajaraja Nanda, having accepted the customs of ordinary people, followed the proper etiquette to protect his city and went to Mathura with other senior men to pay taxes to King Kamsa for their yearly milk production. The Yadus and their faithful servants accompanied him. In Mathura, King Kamsa had previously tried to kill the eighth child of Devaki, who appeared as the personification of Yogamaya. At that time, Yogamaya severely rebuked Kamsa, who was known as Kalanemi in his previous life, saying, "You fool! What benefit will you get by killing me? The one who will kill you has already taken birth somewhere else." Remembering his past enmity toward Lord Vishnu, that cruel and wicked Kamsa then tactfully sent Putana Rakshasi to Vrindavan to kill baby Krishna. She was as foreboding as an evil planet. Capable of assuming any form, Putana came to Nanda's capital disguised as the most beautiful woman in the three worlds. The villagers became attracted and bewildered by seeing such an exceptionally charming woman. In this way, Putana astonished the minds of everyone with her superbly enchanting form. Seeing the extraordinary elegance of Putana, the Brajabasis openly mocked the famous society girls of heaven, saying, "Oh, Urvashi, you are the best of the heavenly damsels, but in the presence of Putana, you are no more than a beggar. Oh, Alambushe, there is no use maintaining the high bamboos of your pride any longer, for it has now been crushed. Oh, Rambe, very soon you will become the consort of a frog. Oh, Grihitachi, your fame, which can be compared to a line of melted butter, is now as valuable as a crematorium covered by water. O Menake, all my followers now laugh heartily at you. O Pramboliche, a rushing current has now washed away the treasure of your beauty. O Chitraleke, your captivating form appears now like lines in a painting. O Tilatame, your glorious fame has dwindled to nil. Everyone wondered about the identity of Putana." The Brajabasis thought, "Is this lady the presiding demigoddess of Vrindavan? Is she the goddess of fortune of the three worlds? Is she a creeper of lightning appearing without a cloud? Is she a friend of the Kumuda flowers blossoming under the moon?" When Putana entered Yashoda's home, the Brajabasis concluded that the goddess of the three worlds had favored that great soul, the king of Vrindavan, by personally coming to render all kinds of service. Like a thief executing his nefarious plan, that shameless woman Putana, her heart full of cruelty and ignorance, courageously entered the house. Putana saw baby Krishna as a spark of a powerful fire capable of burning the sum total of all misfortune to ashes. That boy shone like the transcendental flame of a lamp competent to subdue all enemies produced by the dense darkness of night. He was just like another Agastya Rishi who could easily swallow the deadly ocean of poison represented by material existence. Baby Krishna lay on a bed as white as the rays of a full moon, or the foam produced from churning the ocean of milk. The baby looked like a great emerald sprouting from a field of powdered camphor. Putana played the part of the sweet deceiver who outwardly speaks pleasing words, but harbors cruelty within his vicious heart. She exactly resembled a well covered with grass in order to trap a wild elephant. Her attractive form rivaled the jeweled sheath of a deadly sword. Although assuming the form of a desired creeper, Putana posed as a poisonous plant. Displaying motherly affection, Putana held the baby in her lap. Yashoda and Rohini wondered, is this woman Bhagavati Gauri, or is she the presiding deity of the material elements? Is she the consort of Indra, the queen of Varuna, or the consort of Agni Deva? Has she appeared here to display affection toward my son? Thinking thus, they did not prevent Putana from offering her breast milk to the baby. At that time, Rajeshwari Yashoda thought, am I the mother, or is this woman the mother of my child? Fearlessly, Putana picked up baby Krishna and cuddled him in her lap. The compassionate Lord, who is absolute knowledge personified, acted unaware of the situation. Accepting Putana as his mother, Krishna immediately climbed up on her lap. Yashoda and Rohini watched attentively as Putana expressed motherly affection toward Krishna by pressing her poison-covered nipple into his mouth. His soft, copper-colored lips resembled drinking cups made of the petals of a cluster of banduka flowers. Expert at performing pastimes, Krishna skillfully sucked out both Putana's milk and her very life, which left her helpless and stupefied. Feeling intense pain, Putana shrieked, please leave me, leave me, as she forcefully tried to throw the baby off her breast. But Krishna held tightly with both hands and sucked her breast milk with the cup of his soft lips. Curiously, Krishna derived no satisfaction from drinking that milk. Then Putana assumed her Rakshasi form as a horrible demon. After accepting her poison milk, Krishna threw Putana's huge and hideous body out of town. If the body had fallen in the city, it could have killed many residents. To everyone's amazement, Krishna sat peacefully in Putana's lap. The Brajavasis froze in fright upon seeing the gigantic body of that witch. Her visit resembled a tax collector who intimidates the people when collecting money. As Vibhishan manifested his glories in the white land of Lanka, similarly Putana revealed a terrible body in Vrindavan. As clouds hover above mountaintops, the milk-filled breasts of that demon look like big clouds towering over her mountainous body. As Bali Maharaj resides in Patala, the cavernous mouth of Putana challenged the depth of Patala Loka. Her nostrils resembled the dangerous ravine of a mountain, and her powerful teeth looked like a plowshare. Her arms resembled two palm trees. As soldiers pursued the commander, her extended tongue formed a royal road leading to the dreadful kingdom of her body. Putana's abdomen appeared like a large lake containing varieties of aquatics. In the jungle, the banyan and bajera trees grow very tall. Similarly, her eyes look like tala trees. The ugly body of Putana extended for 12 miles. When the body of Putana fell to the ground, it smashed all the mango trees in King Kongsa's fruit orchard. The affection that Putana had shown toward Krishna left Yashodharani in a state of bewilderment. Not seeing her son, Yashoda cried like a cow lamenting over the death of her calf and then fainted while sighing. Alas! How painful! What happened to my son? Where is he? With tender care, the elderly gopis tried to revive Yashoda. Although still stunned, Yashoda spoke thus. Alas! How painful! Seeing that my son is more beautiful than a blue lotus, the heavenly damsels kidnapped him in order to decorate their ears. Considering my son to be a priceless blue sapphire, the Nagapatnis took him to adorn their foreheads. Thinking him to be a fragrant flower of the tamal tree, the Gandharvas abducted him to decorate their braids with him. Seeing my son as the personification of perfection, city, the Yoginis have snatched him to help achieve some cities. Mistaking my son for the moon, has Shiva put him in his matted locks? Are the activities of this wicked lady the results of my bad karma, or is it just a freak play of destiny? Considering me unworthy, has my son gone to another mother? While thus lamenting, Yashoda staggered a few steps and fell senseless. But the moment she heard that her son had returned, Vijayashree Yashoda regained her consciousness. Upon waking, she said, "Please tell me, has someone kidnapped my son? Where can I find him?" As she stumbled forward, Yashoda's hair came undone, and her dress got covered with dirt. In such a distressed condition, she resembled a Lavali creeper blown about by a strong wind. Although the Brajagopis tried to restrain her, Yashoda continued to wail and strike her breasts. She appeared like compassion personified as she passed through the town gate. Meanwhile, the gopis frantically ran in all directions, crying, "Has a mountain peak, without being driven by a high wind, suddenly crashed down in Vrindavan? Is it the dead womb of the earth? Is it some melted flesh fallen from the sky? Is it a heap of bones collected from the 10 directions? Is it the body of a demon?" Krishna's relatives saw all the townspeople running fearfully to the east. Out of compassion for his family and friends, Krishna crawled up on Putana's chest so that they could see him playing there freely. Thinking thus, Krishna arranged for Putana to fall down outside of town. The gopis saw the child who relishes blissful pastimes as a small cloud sitting on a beautiful mountain peak. Upon seeing Krishna, the gopis cried out, "Oh look! That woman came to kill the son of Nanda, but she died as a result of her grave offense. Oh, how fortunate we are!" Then the gopis climbed up on Putana's body that seemed like the base of a mountain. Beholding that gentle yet fearless beautiful boy with a sweet smile, the coward men picked him up and handed him from one to another. Then the gopis told Yashoda, "Oh, pious one, here is your son. Please embrace him." Thinking their words like those heard in a dream, Yashoda said, "Are you tricking me?" Like a person suffering under the spell of an evil planet, Yashoda could not believe them. However, she regained conviction when Krishna was placed in her lap. Vrajeshwari Yashoda appeared like a woman awaking from a deep sleep of lamentation, or a dead body coming back to life, or an unconscious person returning to his senses. Yashoda swelled with joy upon seeing her son's face. Thereafter, Yashoda and Rohini, along with the other elderly gopis, waved about the switch of a cow, bathed the beautiful child with cow's urine, and performed other purifying acts to create auspiciousness. To further protect the child, they chanted the holy names of the Lord. Meanwhile, the Brajavasis chopped up the gigantic body of Putana, took it away and burned it. From a distance, that burning body, spewing forth deep black smoke and many sparks, looked like a monsoon cloud illuminated by streaks of lightning. Because Krishna had touched Putana, the smoke rising from her burning body filled every planet up to Vaikuntha with a sweet aroma. Everyone enjoyed that fragrance, which smelled like incense of aguru and sandalwood. The rain falling through that fragrant smoke saturated the earth with a sweet smell. Rajaraj Nanda returned from Mathura amidst all this commotion. Observing the smoke and feeling apprehensive, the associates of Nanda said, "O King of Vrindavan, is this a blue veil blowing in the wind and reaching up to touch the feet of a celestial lady? Is it the tips of tall grass or the rays emanating from the jewels on the hoods of the huge serpents from Asatala trying to pierce the coverings of the universe? Is it the running back and forth of the elephants that hold up the four directions? Is it clouds falling on the ground and again rising up to pollute the entire sky? Is it the mood of the goddess Earth during her monthly contamination period ascending to heaven? Or has a dense cloud of darkness suddenly spread throughout the universe?" Moving closer to Putana, the elderly gopas wondered, "Where has all this aromatic smoke suddenly come from? Has the fragrance of the earth expressing its desire to conquer the sky taken the form of smoke to spread throughout the world?" Thus, the gopas argued amongst themselves about the amazing event. Feeling disturbed, Brajaraj Nanda said, "What happened? What is wrong?" Within minutes, the Brajavasis assembled before Nanda Maharaj and told him about Putana's demoniac deeds. Then, to purify his son, Nanda Baba attentively observed all the proper Vedic rites, which included bathing him with cow's urine and other auspicious substances. Gazing at his beloved child, Nanda relished unlimited paternal affection. After the joyous sound subsided, Rajaraj Nanda picked up his son and affectionately smelled his head. He felt as if the seeds of bliss had sprouted within his heart. Overwhelmed with unlimited pleasure, his mind melted with ecstatic feelings and his eyes streamed tears of happiness. Who can describe the mercy of the Lord? Even though Putana Rakshasi came disguised as a mother to kill Krishna with her poisonous breast milk, the compassionate Lord gave her the position of a mother in the spiritual world.
Jai Ho Radha.